In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst. There are many traps in the Christian faith. As we pursue the kingdom of heaven and try to grow in Christ, as a matter of fact, I think it was St. Anthony who looked out into the desert and he saw the world as snares that the devil had laid for us. Think about it this way, and especially in the Orthodox Christian faith, we have 2,000 years of teachings, scripture, the words of the fathers, and then practice, the various practices that have done throughout the age. And we come to this and we inherit it all. And it's so easy to become pigeonholed or to over-focus on any one aspect and to make that somehow an idol. Today is the Feast of the Publican and the Pharisee. And this is an indication that we are on our journey to Lent. We hear some hymns before the liturgy started from the Lenten Triodion, which is the book we'll be using all the way through Holy Week until Pascha. And it's about penance. It's about repentance and about helping us and teaching us and giving us a way so that we could somehow face this fast that we're coming upon in a few weeks. In a healthy way, in a way that might be productive and good for our souls. Well, let's think about the fasting rules that we have. You know, we say for Lent it'll be no meat and no dairy, and that's easy. On Wednesday, and then oftentimes no oil, but it depends on which oil you talk about and which priest you talk to. Some people do fish, but of course, fish are bad. However, you're allowed to have shrimp or lobster, and you can think about the recipe books and piles of information and the way that people practice the fast. Some people reading every single ingredient on every label down to the 10th degree to make sure it hasn't come into contact with anything like meat or dairy. Other people disregarding the fast entirely because, well, you know, it doesn't apply to them. They don't have to do it, right? It's voluntary. It's voluntary as a community. And you see that something as focused as a fast that we have every year, can become an occasion for a multitude of temptations. The temptation to be exacting and precise. The temptation, on the other hand, to say, well, you know, God is graceful. Who cares? I don't really need to do this for my salvation. Well, every day in our entire life as Christians, we're faced with these sort of temptations. Now, there are sins that are obvious that we think about and we can avoid. But how subtle it is when those mornings when we prayed and where we've maybe read the scriptures to stand up and congratulate ourselves and to say, man, finally I got it. How tempting it is at the end of the fast to be saying, I did a good job. Or to take pride in ourselves and say we don't need to do it. These are the temptations that are laid out today before us in the Pharisee and within the scribe. Excuse me, the publican. Now the Pharisee goes up and he prays before the altar and he congratulates himself, essentially. But there's something good about what the Pharisee does. And the Lord does not condemn his acts. He does not condemn him for tithing. Because tithing for the Pharisee was essential. He does not condemn him for fasting twice a week or fasting even more than that. It turns out that the Pharisee's fast is actually more strict than the fast that the Jews typically followed at that time. He doesn't condemn him for fasting. He does end up being condemned for congratulating himself, for standing in pride, for thinking that he has accomplished everything by his own efforts, for having a hard heart, for being someone who essentially only needs to tell God how great he is and not to ask God for mercy or to even open his heart in such a way. The publican, and there is an interesting temptation, I believe, for modern people in the story of the publican. The publican looks down, he doesn't look up. He pounds his chest, he says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You see, I think the temptation for modern people is that when we feel guilty, when we feel filled with shame, we're fine with looking down. But I think more often than not, we say, why bother going to God? I'm unworthy. And in self-condemnation, we don't even dare to make our prayer before God and asking for forgiveness. So we have to note that the publican, although he's humble and contrite of heart, is also there in the presence of God, asking God for his mercy. No matter how bad we've sinned, no matter how bad we feel about ourselves, no matter how guilty and ashamed and heavy we may feel, we should always look to God to justify us, to heal us, to forgive us, to have mercy on us. And so I think that's a modern temptation, just to give up on ourselves and say, forget about it. Another one is to also to take in and have this contrite heart, but to also make an idol out of a showing of a contrite heart. Again, this can get very sophisticated. Look how humble I am. Look how broken my heart is. There's a story one time of a priest who would pull his hand away. Whenever someone asked for a blessing, he would bless them, and instead of letting them kiss his hand, he would pull it away. One day, a woman came, and she received his blessing. He went to pull it away, and she grabbed that hand, and she forced it. And it was said that this was out of humility. But sometimes our acts of humility are actually acts of show. So getting beyond all of this sophisticated, possibly psychological, tricky stuff, we have to ask, what is the goal of all this? What is the goal of the fast? Because if we set the goal for where we're going and what we're trying to accomplish, it'll naturally guide us. We'll have to worry less about this trap or that trap. When you have a strong purpose, you have direction. The purpose of the fast is that you empty yourself, that you obtain contrition, repentance, most importantly, love. So if you find yourself exalting yourself above another person, you're not contrite, you're not repentant, and you don't have love, there's your sign right there. Well, as a matter of fact, for the rest of your life, outside of Lent, you can use this same idea. When you're talking about politics, if you're not contrite, if you're not repentant, and if you don't have love, you're not being a Christian. No matter what it is, the goal of our faith, the goal of Great Lent, is to grow closer to Jesus Christ, the God-man who was crucified, who was contrite, who was full of love, and who taught the primary message of repentance, that we change our ways, that we turn back to God, so that we can find healing and reintegration. So let's become aware of where our hearts are. What are the feelings that you have towards others? What are the feelings that you have about yourself? How do you approach all this stuff that we're called to do as Christians? Well, I would encourage you again to go back and say, What is the purpose? I am willing to submit to the fast because I want to be repentant. I want to empty myself, and I want God to fill me with His grace so that I can love my enemies and love my neighbors. I want to pray in the morning so that I obtain those very same things. I come to church so that I can be closer to Christ, and that eventually I might be granted the gift of loving my enemies and loving my neighbor. I surround myself with the hymns of the church, especially during the repentance season, so that somehow my heart will soften. I'll see my own sins, and I'll be again able to have compassion and love towards others and even myself. So as the hymn says today, let's not emulate the Pharisee in his pride, but rather let us fall down in repentance like the publican. From the depths of our heart, may our God give us contrition, humility, repentance, because those are ultimately the goals of the Christian life, and that is where our salvation is found, when we find it as we pursue our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.
He is in our midst.